careful what you wish for. Ever get that feeling that something might be hanging around?
Good day, everyone, and welcome to another episode of Paranormal Encounters podcast series. The producer and host of this series is Dr. Kelly Renee Schutz. She will be joining you shortly. Before we meet Dr. Schutz, let me give you some background about her. She is a published author and academic, former legal investigator, and paranormal enthusiast, who holds 4 advanced degrees in the area of higher education and applied communications, with a secondary interest in parapsychology and life-after-death issues. Dr. Schutz travels to haunted locations all over the United States and Europe, seeking out situations to investigate. A sensitive intuitive, Dr. Schutz has had numerous experiences with the paranormal since the age of 9, with her most frightening and recent experience being an oval-shaped floor-length mirror cycling around in front of her in a haunted room she had stayed in. She has photographed apparitions in a screened window, been kicked up into the air, been sat on, choked, put into a trance, attacked, and continuously sought out by the unknown who want to share a message with her. From her personal experiences and in interviewing others, she has written nearly 100 illustrated stories in her book series entitled Paranormal Encounters. The Paranormal Encounters podcast series will initiate with Dr. Schutz first discussing a variety of interesting topics, as well as her personal experiences that will evolve into other segments for your interest, enjoyment, and education. Each podcast episode will be approximately 45 minutes long. Dr. Schutz welcomes your questions and comments. How to contact her or ways to order her books will be mentioned at the end of this podcast.
Welcome back, everyone. My name is Dr. Kelly Renee Schutz, your producer and host of Paranormal Encounters podcast series as published by Paranormal Universal Press, LLC. As always, I have an interesting show in store for all of you, so sit back and relax. Just a reminder to my mystery book purchasers that books 6 and 7 are now out on Amazon.com. Book 6 is entitled Through a Child's Eyes, and book 7 is entitled Haunted Phenomena. All books in my Paranormal Encounter series are wonderfully illustrated and contain interesting paranormal encounters from everyday people. If you are interested in purchasing any of my books, start by going to my website to view their covers and descriptions, www.paranormaluniversalpress.com, or go directly to amazon.com, type Paranormal Encounters into the search bar, and my books are generally found on the first, second, or third pages. So let's get started. Here is what is on the agenda for this episode. In segment 1, Paranormal Topics, I will discuss a general topic. The topic for this week will be Black-Eyed Children. Segment 2, Beyond the Grave, will be narrated by a voice talent who will share with you a ghostly story about 2 black-eyed children who showed up on someone's doorstep during a mid-morning blizzard. Segment 3, Ghosts in the News. A voice talent will report an interesting news story about a ghostly sighting to enlighten even the most skeptical ghost disbeliever. Segment 4, a very popular segment called Maynard and Mildred. Maynard continues to interact and be picked on by Mildred, even though Maynard doesn't quite believe in ghosts. And segment 5, Hanging Around, will be narrated by a voice talent who will share 2 more frightening encounters with the Black-Eyed Kids. If you have a story you would like to share, please write to my email account at krschutz1@yahoo.com. That's krschutz1@yahoo.com. Before we get started on the first segment, let's have a word from this podcast series sponsor.
Donate. Simply click the button that says Donate on the podcast page located on the right-hand side to contribute to this program. We appreciate your willingness to pay it forward.
This segment is called Paranormal Topics. The topic for discussion will be Black-Eyed Children. This is the educational portion of the podcast. According to research, black-eyed children, otherwise known as black-eyed kids, has become a popular urban legend that has increased in interest since a report was made by a man who claimed to have had an encounter with a suspicious child in the mid-1990s. These supposed paranormal creatures appear to resemble children and are often reported to be between the ages of 6 and 16, with the most common sightings being a boy and girl pairing or a boy and boy pairing. Black-eyed children can act alone or in small groups of two or three. Reports indicate that black-eyed kids generally have pale skin with pronounced solid black pupiled eyes. The children show up in people's lives by hitchhiking, panhandling, approaching cars in parking lots where there's usually one person sitting in it, waiting idle, waiting for someone to come out of store, or approaching homes during all hours of the day, night, or mid-morning, standing on doorsteps, ringing doorbells, pounding on doors, or staring through windows. When an unsuspecting individual answers the door, the kid's asked to use their cell phone to call someone, getting rather upset if they are handed a cell phone rather than using a landline phone. In some cases, these black-eyed children may even ask to speak on the transporter or transport as a means to contacting their parents. They may also want to use the bathroom, want something to eat because they are hungry, attempt to seek shelter in the home, or ask for a ride home. The kids are generally breathless when they speak and are generally also monotone. 9 out of 10 times, they indicate they are waiting for their parents to come and pick them up. There have been a number of theories over the years about black-eyed kids, questioning what they really are. Are they vampires, extraterrestrials, interdimensional beings, or some form of a demon? What is most troubling are the reported health effects they leave on people after contact or interaction is made. Allegedly, black-eyed children appear to target unsuspecting individuals, may that be an adult or a child. Black-eyed children can befriend kids on a playground or show up on nights such as Halloween, when most would not even question the look, behavior, or dress of a child's trick-or-treat choice of outfit. At the point of contact, when the adult realizes something isn't quite right with one or both children, especially after looking into their deep, black, pupiled eyes, a feeling of unease, fear, and overwhelm takes over, which often challenges the person to make decisions about how to proceed with the interaction. Reactions have varied from guilt and helping the child to shutting the door in one or both faces. Research states black-eyed children fever hit the internet around February 2013 when a 2-minute video episode aired on Weekly Strange featuring these very unusual beings. Thereafter, a handful of accounts began to surface reporting encounters with these children, although no clear facts or details were given in most cases. Subjective testimonies at best, most stories about encounters with black-eyed children can be read on the internet. I, myself, have heard of one account which I do not question. from an author who shared a story on a popular paranormal radio show claiming a woman was parked in front of a convenience store, leaving her son in the back seat while she ran inside for a brief moment to get something. When she returned, she discovered a young black-eyed boy sitting next to her son in the back seat. When she asked the boy who he was and how he came to be sitting next to him, her son said he met the black-eyed boy on the playground and invited him to come home to play with him. The mother jumped out of the car, grabbed her son from the back seat, rushed inside the convenience store, called the police, and when they arrived, no boy was to be found. After that moment, her son began suffering from unexplained and severe health effects that could never be pinpointed. Once he was treated for one thing, something else would occur, causing him continuous illness. The child's illnesses finally resolved about 8 months later, with ongoing questions about where or how these mystery illnesses came about. As with any paranormal theory, it seems many of us want proof or answers, yet it appears that having proof in black-eyed children cases, this is one phenomena better left to speculation. In the case of black-eyed children, as in all questionable paranormal cases, although it may be true that some of these odd creatures could potentially be roaming our planet, it is best to let sleeping dogs lie and to take precautions should one show up on your doorstep or at your window of your car. Continue to listen to this podcast to hear a few more testimonies by those who claim to have also had a run-in with one or more black-eyed kids. Here ends the segment for this podcast. Let's take a break. When we return, we will move into segment two, otherwise known as Beyond the Grave. This segment will be narrated by a voice talent who will share with you a story of a terrifying encounter involving two black-eyed children. Stay tuned.
Beyond the Grave, Black-Eyed Children. The author of this story has given permission to allow the sharing of this encounter. Whether this story is real or complete fiction, it serves as a warning to not interact with or allow any black-eyed child into your vehicle, home, or circumstance under any condition. Here's the story as published by the victims. The story is titled, I Let the Black-Eyed Children Into My Home, and Now I'm Slowly Dying. Dated January 2016. I made the mistake of letting two black-eyed kids inside my home. And now my wife and I are worried that we might be dying because of it. I hope this story will serve as a warning to everyone who is ever in the position and to not make the same mistake that my wife and I did. We live just outside of a rural town in Vermont. It's a tight-knit community where everyone knows one another and people don't lock their doors at night. A little over a year ago, my wife woke up to a loud banging on our front door. At the time, my wife and I lived in a small home on a dirt road just off the rural route into town. It was the middle of a snowstorm, and the nearby hills get very slippery in the snow, so she thought someone might be in an accident or have broken down. When my wife looked out the window, she saw our motion-sensing spotlight was on. She could see that there were footprints in the snow that had come from our road and into our driveway. but there was no car anywhere. The snow was still covering the road, and no one had driven on it for at least a couple of hours. Our front door was obscured from the window, but she could see that someone was standing there. She wasn't sure what to think, so she woke me up just to feel safer. While she told me what was going on, the banging on the door started again, and I went to answer it while she stood in the hallway. When I opened the door, there were two children standing in the snow, looking toward the ground. They were a boy and a girl, and could not have been more than 8 years old. They were dressed strangely and had odd haircuts. The girl's hair was very long and straight, and the boy had a dated haircut that looked almost like a bowl cut. They weren't dressed for the winter, and my first thought was that they must have been Mennonite children. But as far as I knew, there was never a large community of Mennonites anywhere near us. Thinking back on this moment, I know that my normal reaction to seeing children in a snowstorm would be to rush them inside and bundle them up with some blankets and get them some hot cocoa. But that's not how this felt. The children were very unnerving. They would not make eye contact, and when I asked them if everything was okay, they asked if they could come inside. I looked at my wife to say, "What do I do?" And she asked who the kids' parents were. "They'll be here soon," is all they said. It was around 2 o'clock in the morning at this point, so the only reasonable thought in my head was that there must have been an accident, or that these kids got lost. As much as my instincts told me not to bring them inside, I did it anyway. My wife went into the kitchen to make them some hot cocoa, while I took them into the living room. While she was fixing the kettle, she could hear me talking to the kids. I was asking them if they were okay, where they came from, how far they walked, if their parents' car was broken down, things like that. But they always answered, "Our parents will be here soon." They spoke in a sing-songy voice. They weren't at all afraid to be in a stranger's home. I started to notice that our cats, we had four of them, were all hiding, except Pigeon. Pigeon was in the kitchen with my wife. Normally our cats are very curious and friendly. We have to be careful that they don't run out the door when we try to leave or someone tries to come in. This time, none of them were even trying to see who was here, which I thought was very strange. All of the hair on Pigeon's neck was standing up on end, and its tail was puffed up. When he looked in the living room, when my wife bent down to pet him to see what was wrong, he hissed and growled and started backing up till he hid himself under the kitchen island. We'd never seen him do that before. When my wife walked back into the living room, the kids were sitting on the couch, as still as could be. But by then, I was holding my head in my hands. She asked what was wrong, and I just said I felt dizzy all of a sudden, but that I'd be fine. My wife turned back to the children to give them their cocoa, but when they looked at her, she gasped. It took everything inside of her not to drop the mugs and run away. When they looked at us, their eyes were completely black. They had no whites, just giant pupils. When they saw that we were scared, they stood up and asked if they could use the bathroom. I tried to be as composed as I could be and showed them down the hall. They went to the bathroom together and I hurried back. My wife asked if I had seen their eyes. She had seen them too and said that it looked like
her brother's badly bruised eyes after a car accident. We were in the middle of talking about whose children they could be when my nose started to bleed. I'd never had nosebleeds as long as I could remember. I just knew inside of myself that this had something to do with the kids in the bathroom. My wife started crying while she ran to get me some tissues. That's when the power went out. I yelled my wife's name from the living room, and as she started to walk back through the hallway, she stopped dead in her tracks. The two children were at the end of the hallway. They weren't moving, and we had never been so scared in our whole life. They just stood there in the dark. After what felt like forever, the boy said, "Our parents are here," and they walked to the door, opened it, and walked out, leaving it wide open. I jumped up to go close it and almost fell over. We looked out the window and saw two tall men standing by a black car idling at the end of our driveway. The men looked like they were wearing black, and they were at least 6 feet tall in suits. When I waved at them, they just stared at us, got into the car, and drove off. Our power came on about half an hour later, but nothing has been the same since. Over the next few months, three of our cats went missing. We can only assume that they ran away somewhere and never came back. But the worst thing was coming home to find poor Pigeon lying in a puddle of blood in the living room floor. He looked like he had been vomiting blood. The vet told us that he had some kind of hemorrhage. After my nosebleeds became a regular occurrence, we went to see the doctor. He didn't know what to make of it other than dry nasal passages. But soon I was diagnosed with an aggressive form of skin cancer. When the doctor asked if I used tanning beds, we both thought he was joking. But apparently this kind of melanoma is linked to overuse of indoor tanning. The doctors think I will recover, but don't understand how it got so bad so quickly. I had never worked an outdoor job and spent relatively little time in the sun. Since we let the black-eyed kids inside our home, my wife has suffered from regular dizzy spells and nosebleeds on a regular basis. She's had other issues, which I won't mention, but trust me when I say that we're suddenly in the worst condition of our lives, and no one can do anything about it. And I mean it. I know that all of this is because I let the black-eyed children into my home. We've told everyone we could about the strange kids that showed up that night, but no one else saw them. Some laugh at how scared we were of the Mennonite kids. But we know what we saw. I wish I had never opened that door. This is one of the most compelling reports about black-eyed kids. There's also the first report that provides details about the unfortunate souls who let them into their residences. The story leaves us with more questions than answers. Who were the tall men that came to pick them up? Why were the cats so afraid of these children? Were the black-eyed kids truly to blame for nosebleeds and cancer? This article picks up on two interesting things. First, the obvious resemblance of the tall men in dark suits to the men in black encounters. Was this story made up and put out there just as a scare tactic? Or was someone trying to write a story and associate it with a popular movie? Second, the skin cancer diagnosis seems reminiscent of radiation burns, or what is called moonburn syndrome, commonly suffered by UFO witnesses. For years, we have heard accounts of possible UFO visits. Finally, the question now turns to, if this story is true and not embellished, could the black-eyed children be part of an emerging trend in extraterrestrial contact cases? Regardless, should you ever have an encounter with a black-eyed kid, Do not engage, interact, or allow them into your personal spaces. 1 year later, no report has been published on the status of the wife's and husband's health issues.
Let's take a break. When we return, we will move into segment 3 of the podcast known as Ghosts in the News. This segment will be reported by a voice talent who will share with us an interesting ghost sighting witnessed by everyday people around the globe. Stay tuned.
Welcome, everyone, to segment 3 called Ghosts in the News. What ghostly ghouls are lurking in your area? This report takes us to the Red Onion Saloon, located in Skagway, Alaska, where two spirits, an angry bar manager and lady prostitute, are said to be haunting the building. The angry bar manager, when annoyed, likes to throw chairs off tables, while Lydia, the prostitute, roams the second floor and makes appearances. The Red Onion Saloon, originally a brothel in 1898, served to keep ladies employed while they serviced and physically entertained the gold miners. The haunted saloon, isolated in the middle of nowhere, is not only difficult to get to, but serves as a reminder that apparitions can show up just about anywhere. Reports of hearing footsteps, a strong smell of male body odor, and strong smells of perfume linger in the air. Lydia, who contracted syphilis from a patron while working as a prostitute, took her own life by hanging herself after being shamed when having her face branded. Lydia has been seen as a full-body apparition, walks around in the madam's room, waters the plants, and acts hostile towards men. And that is our ghostly moment in the news. Let's take a break. When we return, we will move into segment 4 entitled Maynard and Mildred. Stay tuned.
Hello, Maynard. What's the matter? Haven't seen a ghost today? Maynard, science can't explain everything. Maynard, just because you can't see me doesn't mean I'm not here.
I just love being at the skating rink. I'm going to try a few new finger skating moves to prepare for the Olympics.
Hello, Maynard.
Holy crap, Mildred. I can't have you around me here. I need to concentrate on some of my new skating moves for the Olympics.
Maynard, what are the Olympics?
A place where all the best athletes in the world go to compete for medals. I'm going for gold in the figure skating category.
Don't hold your breath. How much have you actually practiced?
I come to the rink regularly, at least once or twice a year.
Maybe we should clear the rink so you don't hurt anyone. Maynard, what is that person doing over there?
That person is doing a move called the triple axel. I'm going to try for a quadruple axel.
Sounds difficult, Maynard.
Oh, I don't think it'll be really that hard. It just takes a lot of speed, twisting, and balance.
Perhaps you should watch some of the other people do it first, Maynard, so you learn how to master it.
Oh, don't be ridiculous. Only a couple of other skaters in the world know how to do a quadruple axel, and I'm going to be known as one of them.
How much progress have you made in doing this move?
Oh, not much. Just takes a little natural skill. Stand back, Mildred, Here I go.
Wow, Maynard, be careful. You are spinning really fast. You might trip over that scarf of yours. Here, let me help you. I'll pull it out of your way.
Mildred, don't grab my scarf. Ah, I'm spinning faster than a top.
Look, Maynard, other participants are staring at you and applauding.
What's that, sir? Where did I learn how to do a quintuple axle? Well, thank you for noticing. I'm practicing for the Olympics. I'm going for gold.
Oh, brother.
Let me try that again. Here I go. Watch me. Watch me spin. Whoa!
Get out of the way, everyone. He's going to twirl.
Let me build up some speed.
Nice form, Maynard. Why are you flat on your back spinning on the ice? Is that part of your routine?
No! I like my first attempt better. Get out of the way, everyone.
Maynard, some of the skaters are pointing and laughing at you. Is that the reaction you're looking for?
It wasn't meant to be a comedy routine, Mildred. Help me get up. Wait, what am I saying? Bummer, that didn't work out so well. I guess I need to practice a little more.
Maynard, maybe you should aim for a silver medal instead.
Nonsense, Mildred. You wait and see.
Whew, Maynard, I think I'm going to take off. Have fun practicing your moves. Stick to maybe a single axel next time. I'm sure the rink manager appreciated your polishing the ice for him. And I'll be cheering for you when you go to the Olympics to get that silver medal. I mean gold, not. Let's meet in the yard to build a snowman next time, okay, Maynard?
Let's take our final break. When we come back, we will now hear segment 5 entitled Hanging Around, as narrated by a voice talent who will share with you 2 more reports about those having encounters with black-eyed children. Stay tuned. Hanging Around. Story 1. Harold Meets the Devil. One of the earliest known accounts of black-eyed children dates back to 1950 in Virginia and concerns a 16-year-old boy by the name of Harold. According to the story, which was researched and investigated by David Weatherly, the teenager was walking home one afternoon when he came across another boy leaning against a fence, as if he were waiting for someone. Harold attempted to speak to him, but received no response. He was about to walk off and go on his journey when the strange boy suddenly stated to him, "I want to go to your house. You're going to walk me up to your house." It was then that Harold noticed the blackness in the boy's eyes. There was no white, just solid black. Then something even stranger and more chilling happened. Harold had begun to contemplate turning and running home as fast as he could when the boy blurted out, "Now don't you run away from me. You're going to walk me up to your house." Harold turned and ran away faster than his legs could carry him. He later recalled to his parents that when he was running away, he heard a scream behind him, a scream that sounded very similar to that of a bobcat. His parents believed their son's account so much that his father was said to have grabbed his gun and immediately gone out looking for the menacing boy who had demanded the son take him to their family home. His mother thought that her son probably had an encounter with the devil and stated that she would take him to see the local priest that very evening. Story 2. Black-eyed children approach a gas station attendant. A strange tale of a black-eyed children encounter was broadcasted on Darkness Radio in September of 2015 and was said to have taken place at a gas station in northeast Louisiana. The encounter took place in November of 2012. The gas station was a lonely building just off the highway and was the only service station for miles. It was about 3 a.m. when the gas station attendant was going about his normal duties when the power suddenly went out, plunging him into pitch darkness. Using his phone as a makeshift torch, the attendant made his way back to the gas station generator and switched it on. The backup lighting came on, but only the parking lot and the hall to the register was lit up. The rest of the gas station remained enveloped in darkness. The area had experienced heavy winds that evening, so the attendant wasn't terribly uneasy, figuring that the bad weather was probably to blame for the power outage. That was until he saw something moving at the edge of the darkness. He watched intently for several moments, eventually making out what looked to be three children riding their bicycles. Almost as soon as he saw them, two leaped from their bikes and made their way over to the gas station. They stopped at the doorway and stood staring at the attendant. Now a little unsettled, but not overly concerned, the gas attendant made his way to the door and opened it, asking the two children if they were okay and stating that it was late for such young kids to be roaming around near a highway. One of them, a young girl, asked him if she could use his phone. As he handed her his cell phone, her eyes met his, and the attendant saw that they were solid, black orbs. "No," the girl snapped. "I need the real one," motioning to the landline phone that was on the wall in the gas station. At this point, fear finally overtook the attendant, and he pushed the door shut and locked it in one move, shouting to the kids to go away and that the girl should especially go home. The children stared at the attendant through the window for a moment longer before turning around, getting on their bikes, and riding off into the darkness. The following morning, the attendant told his boss of the ordeal and requested that he go look at the security cameras. However, they had been off due to the power outage. It is not known if the power going out was connected to the alleged black-eyed children's arrival, or if this was just merely a bizarre coincidence.
Thank you for joining us this evening. Dr. Schutz welcomes your emails and paranormal stories. Visit her website at www.paranormaluniversalpress.com for contact information, or go to amazon.com to view her books, searching under Paranormal Encounters. Subscribe to this program by clicking on the link on her podcast page to follow upcoming episodes. Thanks for listening, take care, and until next time, be careful what you wish for. The script, vocal talents, and music compositions in this podcast program are copyrighted. As a disclaimer, this podcast episode or parts thereof may not be reproduced, reposted, or transmitted in any form without the express permission from the producer and company, Paranormal Universal Press, LLC. Any opinion or claim made in any podcast episode by the host or guest does not necessarily represent the viewpoints of Paranormal Universal Press, LLC. Properties mentioned in any podcast are publicly known to be haunted or have been discovered to have unexplained occurrences. If you are a ghost seeker, please take precautions and respect people's properties by not trespassing.